Welcome to Inside the 50. This is our second interview that we have are going to be doing. It's a lot back to back, and so we really wanted to get this interview in before the Omaha Regional. This is kind of our Bellevue WGI Regional special. We've got a dear friend with us today, and so I'm going to kind of to bring him in. This person has been through thick and thin with me, has moved away from their hometown to be part of a dream I had. This person has an incredible kind heart, but will also tell you as it is. Hailing from the not-so-small town of Kansas City, the chugga-chugga train that you can't stop, everyone, please welcome to the studio, the Stephen Irving. Welcome. Welcome to Inside the 50. Oh.
Thanks for having me.
Very
excited to be here.
Very excited to have you. We're going to be talking about the Omaha WGI Regional, you know, a little bit about Kansas City Regional, mm-hmm. because you were able to, go and see most prelims, and a lot of those groups are coming up to compete in our local area. So, just kind of a quick overview, you know, let's kind of start with that Kansas City Regional and see what were your overall feelings? What did you see? Anything, you know, just regarding that regional down in KC.
Well, yeah, I mean, having spent so much time in Omaha, definitely was there to support my Omahanians. That's not real, but I decided to make that up. And I think Omaha did it really representing themselves. I know a lot of those instructors are like new to the director position for those schools, but they had a really solid production so far. Kansas City always has a good representation of color guard too. Like they've had a really long history of competitive units within the circuit, and places like Lee Summit, Blue Springs, Grain Valley always do really well, and they definitely came and showed out. The show that really stood out to me though was National Avenue. They had their A class had a show that I can't remember the name of it, but it was like Perspective, I think is what it was called, and like they did an absolutely amazing job with different kind of geometrical shapes folding in and out of each other on the floor, which is just absolutely amazing. Their set design was incredible. It was just crazy.
I love it when drill, especially for color guard, doesn't seem like drill. Like it's like the movement of the drill just creates this picture that you kind of get lost into.
Yeah. I definitely think that that is something that was representative at the regional.
And you did see prelims, or most of prelims. Mm-hmm. You know, how did you think you know, the Nebraska groups did, you know, against a pretty stiff competition in Kansas City?
I think Nebraska is probably like center of the pack. I definitely think they're making their waves. And it was pretty early on in the season. Like, I think the regional is the 24th of February. So at that point, most people are, like, maybe a month into their competitive season. So there was still, like, a good number of units that hadn't completely filled their shows, where you could clearly tell that there's still room for growth and improvement and that kind of stuff, and development, if you will. But I think that they did a good job of showing the training program, the training aspect. It's very evident that they're taking the time to train their students and make sure that they're truly capable of what they're doing. And I guess that's probably the thing that I would take from the Kansas City Regional the most is a really solid showcase of most of those units with fundamentals. I remember talking to a couple people that I was there with, like most of the A-class units are doing like doubles and triples at the Kansas City Regional, which like I've been removed from like the instruction standpoint for a while. But like I remember A-class a couple years ago where like you were consistently seeing quads and fives and like people were just hucking and chucking stuff up there. But I think everyone's like, either they're at a point where they're growing and they're trying to retrain and reassess, but like A class is all about success and achievement, and people are really focusing on that, and that's awesome.
Yeah, it's always, I feel like it was always nice to hear on, you know, some judges' tapes that like the training is evident. Like it was always relieving to be like, okay, well, it at least shows that they are taking the training and they're applying it to what they do. You know, in the show, at least like it's evident enough, because that's, you know, it's half the battle is making sure that, you know, they're doing it how you want them to do it. in a proper manner. And I talked about it on the first episode of this, how there are a lot of groups, especially in the Omaha area, that now have, you know, they have a Scholastic A group, which is usually their varsity, but then they do have a JV and then a novice on top of that. And I think people are really, really thinking about that training ground that you talked about, you know, really setting up their performers for success, starting them in a novice group, not a whole lot of pressure, letting them really progress as they can through the groups, and, you know, and having such a good, you know, it's going to be such a different, such a different top group a couple of years down the road, because you've invested in the regional A novice groups. And so I'm excited for the, you know, the future of some of these groups that have enough people to field multiple ensembles.
Yeah. I also think it's great because we have people like, I'll reference, her name's Liliana. I believe she marches with Crossroads out of Iowa, or at least she did last year. She was one of the students that I remember having in the novice group at Bellevue East like 6 years ago. And she went through novice, and then she went straight to varsity when she got to high school. She was an eighth grader when I taught her. The next year she got to high school, she did the marching band, and then she auditioned for Winter Guard, and she got on the varsity team. She marched the varsity team that whole time, and now she's at Crossroads, which is an independent A color guard, and like is thriving and doing really well. It's like, that is a showcase of what the goal is, you know, like you get them in with a novice group, and the purpose really is to like really just get equipment in their hands and get them to fall in love with the activity. And if you can do that successfully, they'll come back. And when they come back, if they're talented enough, they can be on varsity or JV. And then at that point, you take the time to kind of like nurture and create that performer. And then once they get to varsity, like options are limitless now, because you have this so much more room to play around with the time you have together, because you're not necessarily worried about teaching them how to do a drum spin.
Yeah, I think it's so nice. It's tough, I think, during the season, you know, when you decide to make that switch to really build a program, it can be tough to be like, oh man, you know, you want to be performing maybe at a higher level than you're currently performing at or even scoring at.
Yeah.
But you know that down the road it's going to really pay off. And, you know, not only for, you know, the organization, but for those individuals also. Like, instead of being rushed through the process, they're taking the time to really hone in on their skills.
Yeah. And that, I think, is something that anyone in really any competitive, like, organization or activity should really pay attention to, because you think that these groups are coming out of nowhere and all of a sudden are amazing, but in all reality, behind the scenes, they put in that work. They have that foundation, they have that training program where they bring people in and they get up there. And then once they get those people through those years and into that spot, all of a sudden they have that perfect amalgamation of talent and access, you know, which is great.
Yeah, you just have to have that patience. It's tough. It's tough not to try and be successful.
Delayed gratification is hard.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to kind of, I'm pulling up the, so I can see it. The kind of, you know, who we've got coming to the regional. I don't know if I've said it yet, but 43 groups, which is the most you can have at a one-day regional. And it's got to be the most that the Bellevue regional has had. It's great. Eight different states, you know, people coming in to compete. And there isn't snow in the forecast for Saturday. So, which usually there's some type of awful weather. So I'm very happy about that. So kind of the breakdown.
That's going to be awesome, because I know that.
Sorry, you go.
Yeah. Oh, I was just going to say, it's awesome. The weather's awesome, because I know like previously there have been years where we're slotted to have 43 units come for the regional, but that snow deters people and it like breaks down. So it's going to be nice to have, or be able to have, the opportunity for all those people to show up and show out, you know? That's all.
Yeah. So for some people who don't quite know, the regional, especially with 43 groups, is a long day. I mean, there's going to be groups performing early in the morning. Let me see if I can see it. Yeah, 10 a.m. is the first group that goes on. Millard South going on at 10 a.m. for its classic regional A. And prelims isn't getting done till about 4. Last group performs at 4:39. And so you're talking, there's, you know, obviously a break in there for critique, and then you got to do finals. It is just a long day, especially when you're setting up the night before and not getting sleep. The kind of the breakdown is you've got prelims, you know, everyone performs. And then in certain categories, they take so many into finals. So kind of the breakdown of what we've got for prelims for Saturday is there's 13 in Scholastic Regional A, which is awesome. That many groups in a Regional A. From there, you've got one group that's an independent Regional A, and then there are 20 Scholastic A's. And you know, we kind of talked about it already before starting today that Kansas City is a very similar situation where there's just kind of a bloodbath of competitiveness in the Scholastic A world. And that's going to be probably no different on Saturday, having 20 groups, 7 independent A groups going in. We've got one Scholastic Open and one independent Open, which it can be very tough. I mean, we experienced it with their own organization, finding regionals where there's multiple, you know, groups, because there's only so many that are available that compete in that, definitely that independent open category. So not uncommon if it's your first time going to a regional, like, oh, why is there only one group? It thins out as you get to the top. And so... So as comparison for between prelims and finals, like I said, there's 13 regional A's in prelims, and they're only taking 5 into finals. So that'll be an equally competitive category. The one independent regional A will move in, and then they're taking 13 of the 20 Scholastic A's going forward. So, I mean, that's 7 probably pretty good groups that aren't going to be able to move forward. 4 of the 7 in independent A will go forward, and then the Scholastic Open, independent Open, those will both move forward into the night for finals. I guess one question is, I mean, how important is it to get that second run at a regional event, would you say?
I think if you're looking to be competitive and you're looking forward to going to Dayton, that second read is going to be everything that you need it to be. They usually set you up with a really good opportunity to talk to the judges in between. So sometimes you get an opportunity during that critique to sit down with the judges after you listen to the tapes and say, hey, I remember you had an issue with this part right here. Would you mind watching that this second run and try to give me more detail? Or even just for the judges in general, when they get a second opportunity to see it in a smaller group setting, they have more time to focus on those details as well, because they've seen it once, so they have an idea of what's happening. So now they can look for finer tuned things that are really going to help you increase and like take your unit to the next level. So getting an opportunity to be in finals is like what everybody wants. Not guaranteed, but like the best.
Yeah. And it's hard because in an activity where everyone's very supportive of each other, like you would want everyone to get a second read, but it's like in the end, it is a competitive atmosphere, and you know, there's only so many hours in the day that can make it happen. So, I mean, yep. Like I said, 43 groups is a lot. And I mean, obviously this is our home turf of HWA, Heartland Winter Arts Association. I mean, how do you think, is it going to be a similar situation in Kansas City as it is here? You know, are we going to be kind of middle of the pack? Will there be some groups that, you know, didn't travel to Kansas City that might make a higher impact? What do you think?
Well, you know, the Nebraska units have definitely had a couple weeks to get their shows filled in and do whatever fine tuning a little bit that they could. Typically around this time of year, like people have finished filling in their shows. They're now working on getting details and cleaning and stuff like that done. So I think if they've been able to put in the work and listen to those tapes from the Kansas City Regional, which a lot of the Omaha schools have already, then they'll be set up for pretty good success. I'm definitely interested in seeing the South Dakota teams, like Roosevelt High School, Sioux Falls Lincoln, Brandon Valley. Like, South Dakota usually does a really good job, so I'm interested to see how they've done and what they've done with their shows. But I think Nebraska's gonna represent really well. I think they're gonna be towards the top, at least a few of them for sure.
Yeah, I just pulled up to look at the current color guard rankings for HWA with the seeding, and so Sioux Falls Lincoln and Brandon Valley, last time they competed was February 17th. So, I mean, we're talking almost close to a month of improvements and rehearsals. Papio South, I mean, them and Sioux Falls are pretty close. Papio South currently, you know, have gotten a score later. You know, they last performed on the 2nd of March.
Yeah.
I mean, but yeah, you're still talking about, you know, plenty of rehearsals between then and now, you know, and Saturday. And even between a couple weeks ago to the most previous competition at Papio South last week, there were a lot of groups that made significant jumps. And, you know, and who knows, you know, that early in the season, maybe sometimes their costumes aren't in, you know, obviously work maybe not filled in. You know, you kind of touched on it earlier that coming to this point, this kind of midpoint in the season, there's a lot of groups that are going to have, you know, most of their show, if not all of it, put together in some form. And so I think having a regional in this area that is, you know, towards this part of the season, it really benefits our groups, you know, in the area to really get a nice read of the full thing. Because, you know, you can sometimes only get, you know, so much of a read with so much of your show filled in. It can be difficult to really, you know, get the feedback you'd like.
Yep.
So I think this is going to be a really good test and a really good gauge for some of those groups that are looking at Dayton in April on where they want to end their season at.
And honestly, this Omaha Regional is going to be great because, like you've said, a lot of people Bellevue Regional has a lot of people coming in from the outside. Clearly coming up from Missouri, but we've got Illinois schools, like we talked about, South Dakota, a couple Minnesota schools. Somebody's coming in from Utah, like Iowa. I think when you bring in all of these other units, people also get an opportunity to see how they stack up against everyone else in their class. You can see, like, where you're at and where other units are at, what you're doing, what other units are doing, and what they're achieving, what they're successful at. I think it gives a lot of people an opportunity to see what kind of tweaks and adjustments they can make to their own program just by watching other teams perform, even without having, like, critique and judges' critiques and stuff like that and responses. Like, you can just see what's on the floor and what other units are providing and how you can elevate your show to get on that same level, you know? Or see what you're doing better than others, depending on where you're at.
Even just, like, like you said, watching certain performers, like sometimes that clicks light bulbs on for people of realizing that, oh, you know, usually they're the same age as me. You know, I can perform like that. I can, you know, strive to have that much confidence. Yep. It can really boost some groups in that way. You're right. There's a lot of groups coming from outside of the area. We touched on it already, but, you know, us having to take our own groups to other places to get those comparables, you know, to get more, you know, in the scene per se, and having that opportunity locally for these groups is great. I'm interested too on this, you know, Sioux Falls, Roosevelt, like you said, Brandon Valley, you know, having Grain Valley come up. I have Blue Springs South coming up. There's going to be some good groups. And then obviously groups that we, you know, possibly haven't seen, you know, coming from the outside. It can really throw curveballs in there that people just don't know, which is fun. you know, when you've got Stillwater High School from Oklahoma coming up, you're like, I don't know. we've never seen them before. You know, it's who exactly. knows what the show is this year. And I think that's what's pretty cool too is, and what has been the instance in our area when groups come in from the outside area, there's been a lot of support for those groups, you know, mm-hmm. especially when, you know, and you went out and came in from Denver, you know, like yeah. they were, it was just such a, oh, you know, I hope a welcoming atmosphere. It seemed like that. Like we were just excited to see groups not from this area. And so yep. It's definitely has been more possible on the color guard side of things. I hope maybe in the future yeah. it is, you know, on the percussion and the wind side. But right now it's really cool to have this type of attendance of the area.
No, I was going to say, that same kind of spectrum of being welcoming and inviting to those outside units, I think that's important for your local unit to do. Like when people come in for those regionals, making sure that you're trying to make them feel welcomed and warm. And like that comes down to the staff that you have for your volunteers for the event. That comes down to whoever is your director of organizing an event and reaching out to the directors of other units and making sure that their accommodations are great or getting them rehearsal space if you can find some. Like figuring out any and every way to make sure that everyone feels like they're supported and successful for that makes them want to come back. And the more we get them to come back, the bigger the event keeps growing, and then the more competitive the area is going to be naturally because you have so many more units coming in and wanting to participate and be a part of this event. I feel like Omaha and Bellevue has done a really good job of continuing to build that kind of reputation of being a really good center for competition. So yeah, that's been important.
It's such a, and I mean, I could do a whole talk about what it takes to put one of these events on. It is nuts.
Have you done that before?
Yeah, just a couple times. And it is just, you, with any large event, you don't realize what exactly goes on behind the scenes until you're there. But it's great. You might not see it, you know, at 1 o'clock in the morning when you're putting signs up in the hallway. But man, when you see those groups, cheering each other on, when you see those groups, you know, lining up for finals retreat, and it's cool to see what this activity can bring together. And so having these groups, these groups out, you know, I hope they feel welcome in the area. I hope they have a good time. I always urge anybody who even remotely knows about the activity to go out and support, because you're not only supporting the people on the floor, you're supporting, you know, the local circuit, you're you know, supporting the organization that's helping put it on. And I've seen, you know, where someone might be not having a good show, and just some simple cheers gets them right up back on track. I've seen it where, you know, especially in the regional A category, where, you know, they might not be doing the most challenging things, but having people who know about the activity in the audience and know what it takes for these participants to do what they're doing, even if, you know, it could be brand new, you could have eighth graders out there doing this and cheering them on just as if you were at world-class finals in Dayton. Like it's, so if I always urge people, if you know anything about activity, even if you don't know, like go check it out and go support the people that are continuing possibly what you have done in the past. It might cost a couple dollars. But you know, all that money is going to the activity and creating, you know, the activity to grow it and expand it. So I'm going to try and check out those finals, and see what I can catch. It should be a great show. It should be a really great show. I'm excited.
Yeah. Excited to see how everything looks after that prelims run.
I mean Irondale's coming down. I'm pumped. It's gonna be fun to watch, that's for sure. Steven, thank you so much. Do you have any closing remarks on our little and our podcast.
No, not really. I am so excited that, number one, you started this podcast, and I hope that this reaches a lot of people that have somehow become estranged from the activity, and this just pulls them back in, because I think there's nothing better than falling back in love with something that was such a big part of your life. Because I feel like no matter what level of competitiveness or experience you have in the activity, you loved it at some point, and it consumed a lot of your life. And it's nice to kind of fall back on those memories and remember that. So hopefully this reaches those people and we get you back.
Yeah, it doesn't take much for me, that's for sure. Take much for me to watch a show from the past or a drum corps show that I am immediately hooked again, even if I've got a million things going on in my life. It's mm-hmm. very easy for me to get back into it and, remember and appreciate what, you know, maybe my experience had been, but also remember all the people who came before and now the people who are living it. I'm pumped about it. I'm excited. Steven, you're going to come back on the show. I hope you obviously come back on the show. We'll do a recap of the Omaha Regional. Maybe we'll talk about who knows what else, anything else, maybe marching arts things, but you know, something.
No, I don't have anything else.
Yeah. Well, everybody give a big round of applause to our friends.
Train your kids. Just enjoy, get them to enjoy the experience. At the end of the day, it's really just about them having a good time, rejoicing in all the hard work and effort that they put into the show. I think keeping that at the precipice of everything that you do really allows your units to shine. So don't forget to show your kids some love. They're working hard.
Amen. Thank you so much, Steven, for being on the show. We're going to have you again. Like I said, you're going to come back on. We're going to do it. You can be a frequent guest of the show. And we will, I'm sure people are going to like
it. I'd love that.
So if you liked everything you saw today, even if you didn't like it, please subscribe, share it, like it. I very appreciative. We're going to, most of our interviews, if they, you know, like I've said previously, if they involve someone with a local group, a local, you know, high school or something, if we make any money off of the podcast, we're going to move some of that money back to those groups. So please spread the word so that we can, like I said, continue growing the activity, continue growing awareness of the activity so that we can get more people involved and support these people that are currently doing it. Once again, thank you, Stephen Irving, for being with us on Inside the 50. Round of applause.